Welcome to Tech on Toast. The Tech on Toast podcast is powered by REMS Hospitality, using market data to grow your revenue. To find out more about Tech on Toast, head over to our website, techontoast.community, where you can listen to all of our podcasts, read all of our blogs, and search for the latest hospitality tech in our marketplace. Enjoy the show. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And we're very lucky today. Again, we're in the pub. I've been in the pub 2 days on the run now, and I'm still here surviving. And it's a very northern podcast today. We have Dan and Sam from Airship and Toggle. Say hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, thank you for coming. It's literally, they were just getting used to the microphone sounds at the moment because Sam's been enjoying hearing himself in the microphone.
Oh, it's lovely. I sound so good on this microphone.
And what have you been doing down here? You've been down here yesterday as well, guys, weren't you? This is just a one-stop visit.
We were down yesterday. I had a couple of meetings and then Sam came down so we could do the Vegas draw.
We've got to talk about it. I saw it on social last night. So explain what's going on, Sam, before people wonder what we're talking about.
Anyone that follows Airship and Toggle might see that we do quite a lot of marketing and we try and keep it quite fun. And it usually comes out of Dan's brain or one of our team has a smart idea that sounds ridiculous and then comes to life quite quickly. And Dan's idea was that we should buy three tickets to the Las Vegas Hospitality Study Tour in March, so just literally a month away. Myself and Dan are going with 30 other operators, and the idea was to give the other one away to anyone in hospitality wanting to join us. No kind of requirements to enter, just if you work in hospitality and you want
you
to go on the study tour.
You just have to put
it with
YouTube.
That is the only requirement. I mean, it's a tough one as well.
Yeah, you have to sit next to me, very
I didn't see that in the T's and C's, I'll be honest.
We didn't check the T's and C's, did we?
T's and C's?
But we did. The draw last night, we had like half the hospitality sector entered, it felt like, and then a young lady called Olga, who was a GM from Tequila Mockingbird, got a FaceTime call last night, and it was wonderful. It's so lovely to do these sort of things.
And this one's for you, Olga. Yeah. And off soon.
We'll figure it out.
Right, let's get into it. Anyway, guys, introduce yourselves a little bit. Tell us about, you know, who you are and what you do. Should we start with you, Sam, since you're hogging the mic so far?
Absolutely.
It's my turn.
My name's Sam Brown. I'm the Chief Commercial Officer for Airship and Toggle, and I joined shortly after the pandemic started back in 2020. I have spent about a decade working in hospitality tech and SaaS sales, and my job is a mixed bag, but basically I try and get involved in anything customer-facing for Airship and Toggle for both our platforms, whether that be welcoming new brands to the platform and making sure they make the right choices and get onboarded properly, and working with our amazing onboarding team headed up by Georgina, who's now pretty much famous in the sector, or working with our partnerships team or our marketing team, who are, you know, very well respected in the sector now, quite rightly. They're a fantastic duo. And of course, helping out with our new business sales team headed up by Lucy. So fingers in lots of pies, but Chief Commercial Officer.
That's good. And Dan, welcome.
Thanks for having us on, first of all, Chris. Really appreciate it. So I'm Dan Brookman. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Airship and Toggle. I'm 30 years in hospitality. So this is pretty much all I've done all my life. I owned operated venues through my 20s and then co-founded this business in 2002, launched in 2003, and just been on a bit of a journey with it since then, really. So my job is to lead the business, but also really I lead the product, so the product development and dream up new ways for hospitality operators to engage with brands through the platform and really try and push the technology as much as possible. That's me. That's what I do.
And I was going to say, the actual product is fantastic, right? And I think what we should talk about next is what does Airship do for the people who don't know or live under a rock somewhere and haven't seen it. Tell us about Airships, Dan.
Sure. So Airship, it's quite old. So we launched as PowerText in 2003, and we're a text message broadcast company, and we work for late night. So we work for God's Kitchen, Gatecrasher, Ministry of Sound, all
great
the big dance.
Out.
Yeah, great nights out. I mean, lots of fun. Like,
you're in my era, Dan. That's, you know, I'm understanding what you're talking about for once.
a bit too much fun, truthfully.
Yeah. I've heard the stories. They're great.
But you're still here.
I'm still here. So, yeah, we cut our teeth with the late night sector And then we've just evolved the platform over the years. And really what it's about, and it's what it's always been about, is integrated with other platforms to bring data together, understand that data, and then automate marketing to those customers to drive visit frequency. As we've gone on, it's got smarter and smarter. We've got basket data coming in now. We get data from about 15 different touch points in every customer's business, and that helps us build consumer profiles really quickly so that hospitality brands can leverage those profiles and understand their customer and drive that customer back to the business.
And for me, particularly the last, I think since the pandemic, actually, you guys got creative, and I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Airship and Toggle grow, grow, particularly Toggle. But it's been really interesting. And Sam, talk us through Toggle, because Toggle, how long has Toggle been going for?
So Toggle launched in October 2018.
Yep.
So it's approaching 5 years old. Is that my math right there?
Yep.
So it launched a couple of years before I joined, and I was very honest with Dan about this. When I decided it was time to move and the pandemic had started, and a lot of people in the sector were watching Dan and Airship from afar a little bit enviously, because they seemed to be one of the few suppliers that were kind of running free and trying to pump positivity and assistance and making the platforms free of charge for all operators for that year. And just kind of doing, I remember speaking to you and you were sleeping in the office and just doing whatever you could, because I know it's so personal to you, this sector, and it's something you're so emotionally invested in.
I don't think we just had our funding in October 2019. So we were in a fortunate position, and that enabled us to just, I wasn't going to be beaten by it. Not after 18 years or whatever.
Is extreme, but it looks like it worked, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, honestly, they were full on days. You know, the industry, the whole sector was in free fall. Yeah. It was so emotional. It was so emotionally driven. There was just people just, they just didn't know what was going to happen to their businesses, you know, and to their roles and things.
A really interesting point to make before we get any further, because actually when you talked about the emotion in the industry, it is a very emotional industry, isn't it? And actually one of the conversations I was having earlier in the week was about how tech should be supporting, not just supplying, right? And I think you guys are very much at the forefront of that, right? That you're very much the Anton Deck of... of tech and hospitality.
I don't know which is which.
You're lucky I went with that duo, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I know which one I am. Back to Toggle then.
Sorry, I digress.
We're going to segue a lot.
We will digress a lot.
When I first spoke to Dan, I was quite honest and said, because my background was data collection, previously of Wireless Social, so in-venue data collection, and then using that data to pump it into different CRMs. And I knew Airship really well. And we had a huge amount of crossover in customers. And that was the thing that attracted me. Watching what Dan and the team were doing, it was really positive. It was really exciting. And I thought, I know what can be done with that platform, with the data that comes from all these different platforms, not just Wi-Fi, but table booking and gift cards and feedback and everything else that gets pumped into a CRM platform. And I was quite honest that Toggle didn't really excite me. I'm not the sort of person who previously bought gift cards. It wasn't a part of my normal routine, and it just seemed like something that I remember you telling me about it probably in 2018, and I was like, this is never going to work. The guy's insane. And when I landed, very quickly became aware that Toggle was the younger, more nimble, more exciting platform, and Airship was this huge, powerful, complex, intelligent beast. And that's probably why you introduced Airship and I introduced Toggle.
I was going to say, we found our lanes.
Because Toggle is just this very nimble platform that can be set up quickly. It can work for anyone. You don't have to be a tech genius to do it. And it unlocks this incredibly efficient new source of revenue for venues. So for anyone that doesn't know Toggle, it came out of a conversation with one of our longstanding customers in Living Ventures, so the guys that birthed Alchemist and Gusto and...
New World Trading, Australia, of course. Manchester,
yeah, everyone, yeah. Lots of famous brands.
Basically
up in
Manchester.
The north. Yes, the north, basically. Yeah. And we worked with them to help improve. We, Dan and the team, prior to my arrival, helped to build this new gifting platform, which evolved into Toggle. And it does many things, but on the most simplistic version of it is it allows you, as an operator in hospitality, to sell physical or digital gift cards, either in-venue or online. It integrates with your EPOS, or it should do. We integrate with about 20 different redemption partners now. And it massively increases the revenue channels. So some of our customers now class their Toggle shop as an additional unit. I mean, Ego, I'm sure they won't mind us sharing. They class Toggle as their X the 24th or whatever number venue, because the revenue generated is so significant. And it's not just gift cards. You can now sell prepaid experiences through it. So people selling afternoon tea experiences or Father's Day experiences or brewery tours or cocktail masterclasses.
As you got longer into that list, I was getting more excited.
Oh, it gets more and more fun.
You start at tea and ended with cocktails.
I think like last year we did £22 million worth of gift card sales. £22 million.
Do you know what it's like? Because remember when delivery came along, obviously everyone was like, oh, it will never work, and you're stealing everyone's money, go away. And then obviously we're here where we are, you know, we're 5-10 years down the line, but it is a new revenue stream, right? Something that people may have experienced in their own personal life buying. I think, remember, we're old enough to remember, I'm not pointing at you, Sam, we're old enough to remember like the WH Smith's gift card or the M&S voucher,
the book
you can basically get a book of them and sell them on and use them three times.
22 million quid is 366,000 visits. 366,000 promises of a future visit at £60 a gift card on average. And the person doesn't come on their own. They don't turn up on their own and go, I've got a gift card, I'm going to sit at the bar or order myself a steak. They're going to bring 2-3 people with them.
Yeah.
And the spend uplift on that, you know, is, you know, you're doubling it at least.
And since then, I'm guessing people are now budgeting that into their numbers, right? They're actually building their revenues. Because before, I suppose when you start that kind of stuff, it's kind of like, suck it and see, let's see how it goes. But as they look forward now, they've got a prior year, they're building this business.
It's so fun. I mean, one of our big groups recently, who's got kind of 200 plus locations, share a case study soon, not sure I can say it now. They moved to Toggle a year ago, just gave us the results, and they've seen a tripling, a 280%, so nearly quadruple increase on the gift card sales across 200 venues. Yep. And it's not just gift cards. So, you know, people are gifting experiences. It's, you know, it's hospitality commerce. Can we swear on this podcast?
Yeah, have to click a box that says explicit when I send it out.
It's the wanky name we've given it. It's hospitality commerce.
It's not a wanky name. My mission is for hospitality operators to have an online presence. So if you go to Brew House and Kitchen, it doesn't say gift cards, it says shop. Yeah. They sell beer kegs, they sell
like the rest of the world, right? Like the other industries. Why should we be any different?
Absolutely.
And I think are the brands innovating then? They must be.
Yep. Some of them
for products to, because a lot of people listen and go, oh, well, I can't really do that. I only sell fish and chips, for instance. How do I get onto?
We've got loads of fish and chip shops on.
We've got loads of fish and chip shops on. Well, honestly, if you sell food and drink or you're in this sector, you have something, you can sell your experience. And there's loads of great examples.
I think the you know, we like to educate as a business. So we're not just a SaaS company selling software to operators. Everything that we do is around bringing our customers on the journey with us and helping people get the most out of it. And we recognise that not everybody's a born marketeer. You know, a lot of the people in roles that we deal with, you know, they've been working on, you know, been working the bar, they've been working the kitchen, they've been working the floor, and they've come through the ranks. And hospitality is one of those sectors that's incredible, the speed of promotion that you can have when you're amazing and you're just whizzing through a business, and when those businesses are growing and you know, so what we want to do is make sure that our users understand how to use the platform. So a lot of it's around education, and it's just about sitting down with people and talking about experiences and how you package up menu items. You know, have a look at Gusto's shop, and there's one gift card on there and there's 6 experiences, but it's a steak dinner for 2. It's, you know, it's not like Mastermind. You know, it's just simply packaging.
Are you saying
things
even I could do it?
Even you could
even
do it.
Even I could do it.
Yeah, even Sam could do it. Yeah.
But actually, it's a really good segue because I was going to ask Dan. I've grown up in the industry since I was little, all the way through. My folks had hotels when I was a kid, and I worked my way through the business. And actually, marketing was always, I always believed the best brands I worked for were great at telling stories and great at really understanding what they did and conveying that to the guest, but also through product as well as messaging. But actually, an outside looking in over the last decade, has the marketing function started to shrink in a lot of these big brands and even the smaller guys? Are they even investing in a marketing person? And Dan, I wanted to ask, because you've got obviously bags of experience in this world, why do you think that's happening? And why is that role so key, that the marketing department's so key to a successful hospitality business?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. I caught up with Sorrel Ward yesterday, who's currently the marketing director at Franca Manca. She was at City Pub and the last time I worked with her was at Novus Leisure. And we talked about this. And when I worked for Novus Leisure, which was sort of probably about 2000 and 2005 to 2015. We were on off with them. They'd invested £1 million in CRM Dynamics, Microsoft product, and it couldn't do any marketing. It did like customer relationship management really well, but they couldn't actually send a fucking email through it, you know? So we were the email arm for them, and we used to build data collection mechanics and data acceleration mechanics, and you know, they had a call center team and they had about 12 people in the marketing team, and it was late night London and it was this big engine, and they used to book out Christmas. 80% of Christmas would be booked by the 1st of October, like every single year. It just absolutely smashed it out of the park. Everything was numbers driven. Everything was occupancy driven. It was just literally revenue, revenue, revenue. And I think that what's happened is we've had some massive shakeups around data, GDPR, and lots of it was almost like a reset.
Yeah.
I think that that made quite a lot of companies uncomfortable as to how to handle data going forwards. We've also had a lot of tech. So there's loads of data out flowing in. And you don't really have to think about how to collect data because it's already there, because it's coming from these 15 touch points. So I think that there's obviously more channels now. So there's TikTok and there's Instagram and there's, you know, there's lots of things going off and marketing teams are spread much more thinly.
Yeah.
But the key is that the metrics moved off from revenue and it's moved more to engagement, and engagement is much harder to measure. So it's become so it's become a little bit more, and I say this in the nicest possible way, it's just a bit more fluffy, I think, than it was. But it's getting back to engagement now. So I think that we understand the pound note value delivered from sending an email. We literally know how much, when a customer's been in with a toggle card, how much has been returned, when they use a single-use voucher, when they use order and pay, when they use loyalty, when they use any of these different methods, when it has an association with the POS, with the EPOS, we get that basket data. So we know what the measure is. And I think that that's the change that's coming about to help marketing be back at the heart of the businesses and get more budget and bigger teams.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you if you were a marketing director, so we're going to make you marketing director today at BrewDog. Sorry.
Exciting.
Sorry, whoever was in charge. Dan's just taken over.
We've got another ticket to give away for Vegas. I just expense it.
And I think he's bringing Sam with him. What goals would you set your marketing team? So, you know, if you, you're using Airship properly, I imagine, as a marketing director. God, it's so obvious. But what goals would you set? Was that your only goal? Airship?
Yeah. I think, first of all, I'd buy Airship.
Twice.
Yeah, twice. I think I would... it's got to be conversion and also occupancy, you know, the pre-booked side of, well, certainly this site here. It's got a lot of space in it. It's got a lot of activities in it. It's got it's a great opportunity. So I think that's what I would be looking at. So literally engagement and conversion. What's the conversion rate?
Love it. And it's not just restaurants, right, Sam? Leaning over to you. It's because the whole industry, the reason we love this industry is it's so... diverse, so complex. There's, you know, hotels, actually in this one building there's bowling, podcasting, event space, you know, there's everything. The hotel sector interests me a little bit. In my previous world we were eventing with the hotel people, and I always tried to work out their tech journey because I was trying to kind of work out their tech stack. It's very different to a casual dining tech stack, but there is lots of crossover, and I imagine potentially you guys crossover. What do you think, what kind of data are they getting, and what do you think you guys could help them with?
It's something that's really close to our heart recently. So traditionally, both Airship and Toggle have been focused on the food and beverage side of hospitality. We started our journey with hotels. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, or at least from my awareness of when I moved over and literally needed somewhere to stay in Sheffield and reached out to a local hotel called Kenwood Hall. And it's a fabulous listed building. And we spoke to them and said, can we do a deal with you guys? And we started to have Airship and Toggle in exchange for me being able to stay there. And then our team grew, as you do.
Another way you do business.
And then our team grew and we got staff all over the country and we needed more accommodation. They've got 9 hotels and we have a fantastic relationship with them.
I didn't sign that off, by the way.
I was going to say, Cameron Hotel sounds quite nice.
It's lovely.
I'm sure there's other ones available.
Yeah. Shout out to Aidan and the team there.
Regular listeners.
So that was kind of the start of our journey. And then we started to understand, as you said, that the tech stack's very different. So the EPOS that they regularly use, or they have room booking rather than table booking, of course, and different little nuances with the suppliers they use. And that was something that started our journey. And now fast forward to 2.5 years, we have, you know, 30 or 40 really exciting hotel brands that use Airship and Toggle really well. People like Molly's and Village Hotels and all of the inns within, you know, Shep and Neame and the likes. There's a huge variety of accommodation providers that now use Airship and Toggle. But a couple of things we've learned on the way, because we've been doing it over, you know, learning on the job for 2 years, and we're loving broaching the hotel sector and the accommodation space. And we brought in a team headed up by Holly on our side to look after that specifically. And my perception, for what little experience I have, is I think they've had a harder job of it in accommodation compared to F&B hospitality. Dan's taking photos. Was it good?
Good, obviously. It was your best side.
Yeah, obviously. So I think they've had it tough because, from what I understand, the quantity and quality of data that they've had access to has not been as good as hospitality, where if you walk in somewhere like here, you can log into the Wi-Fi, you can book a table, you can redeem a gift card, you can leave feedback, you can go in the photo booth, you can use the order and pay app, you can do any manner of these things. Yeah. And the footfall that you're getting per square metre in somewhere like this, for example, is huge, whereas where we've just been, I've got, I don't know maths, 3 square metres all to myself for 48 hours.
Yep.
And you only get the lead booker's contact details. And, you know, you only get the person that books the restaurant if they do, or they're probably going to come downstairs already in the building. So the data is not as available as it is in hospitality, is my belief. But also people like the OTAs have not made life easy. So people like Booking.com, who are a necessary evil and do a phenomenal job. But again, I know that they are bittersweet from all of the hotel and accommodation providers that we work with, because they don't openly share the personal data of the customer. So the gold dust there is, if Chris books at Sam's motel, please don't, it'd be
never going to.
The hygiene rating would be poor. Yeah. Poor.
Sounds like Chris's cafe. But yeah.
Fun factor. High.
Yeah, fun
hygiene. Low.
Yeah. We're here for a good time, not a long time at Sam's motel.
It's okay. Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
So if you came in and you booked through booking.com, the goal just for me is I need to get your contact details and then everything else. I need to know as much about you as I can. So I need to know your email address, your mobile number, your date of birth. You know, all this information will be priceless to me, but the OTAs don't make it easy. And also on top of that, the platforms historically, again, as far as we can tell, have been split. There's not been a huge amount of integration between the different tech providers that work in the hotel world for whatever reason, unlike perhaps, say, hospitality as we know it in the F&B side of things now, where your Wi-Fi company will speak to your CRM, will speak to your gift card provider, will speak to your feedback provider, your order and pay. We all integrate. You know, I bet all the people you have on this podcast, 99% of the time, our platforms will integrate with each other, or they should do, or they're going too soon, because our responsibility is to give these people the ability to do more with their data. One of those biggest integrations we've done, and a company we've become very good friends with, is a company called HLS, who the listeners will probably have heard of, which is a high-level software, and they specialize in room bookings within the hotel space. And what happens now is the booking.com booking will come through, other OTAs are available, and then we allow them, through our relationship with HLS, to manage to capture that individual contact details and then suck it into Airship, so that we now know that Chris actually is your email address, your date of birth, your phone number. Yep. And then we can use that to trigger an email out on your birthday 30 days before that has a gift card in saying, hey, here's a free bottle of Prosecco when you arrive within 30 days of your birthday. Or insert your drink of choice that you filled in a form on your Wi-Fi provider. So I think what may have happened is that possibly some of the teams in accommodation aren't aware of what's now possible, not in terms of having an integrated tech ecosystem, having tech suppliers who support you in terms of the innovation we spoke about. It's not rocket science, but if you don't know it exists, it might as well be invisible.
And I actually think working with some of the, we work with some of the quite like luxury end and when we did Rooms 101, and their understanding of tech, without being too offensive, they, one particular chap who runs a very, very well-known prestigious hotel, said to me, tech will never save us. I kind of get what he's all about service.
Yep.
He's the hotel people are very, and I know hospitality because of dining people and all those guys should be as well, but hotel is service, right?
100%. They're
very much in that format. And I think sometimes they see some of the barriers through the connecting or the piece of tech that it becomes, I don't know, I think maybe it's a bit of a legacy thing.
I mean, I find it amazing when you go into a hotel and you've pre-booked and everything's done, and then you get to the desk and they still pull out a piece of paper.
Last night!
Literally, I mean, it's like, what are we doing here?
And do you know what? You're so tired, aren't you? It's just that I always think of pain points in dining out or whatever you do, you always think, where can I make the pain less
yep.
for the customer? And that point in the hotel, everybody says, when I check in, especially if you're a business traveler in the week, you're often had a full day or you just want to go and sit in your room, say hi to your missus and go to bed or go out and have a drink at Sam's hotel, whatever it's called.
It's a motel rather than a hotel.
Yes, it really is.
Cheap.
But I'm not going to go into the song. But anyway, but then when you get there, and it's the little car. It's still the little card. Yeah. It's and it feels like we're stuck in a bit of a time warp yeah. there.
With I think Molly's Diner and Village Hotels. When you check in there, you go to check in. It pings you a gift card, pings you a Toggle gift card to spend in the restaurant.
Of course,
or the
it
bar.
Does.
Automatically, yeah. it just pings through and it expires at the end of your stay.
Wow.
If you've not used it, and it's just trying to drive business back within the businesses.
And they're checking, actually, because I stayed at the Village in shout out to Bromborough and the Wirral when I went to see mum and dad a few months ago. And their check-in was absolutely seamless, I think. Mm. It was digital. We didn't even see the person on the desk.
They're good. And Molly's, they won an award for their tech stack, which is, you said, very similar. But it doesn't have to be complicated. The gentleman you spoke to is right, tech's not going to save them. But it's supposed to support them. As you said before, you know, we're not just suppliers. We should be supporting. We should be enabling them. Yeah. Even the guys at Tap and Run, Harry, who's a great guy and very sad that pub burnt down. I think it's due to reopen soon.
Yep.
And good luck to them. They just have one very simple automated journey that just says before someone's birthday, automatically send them an email saying happy birthday. Here's a Toggle gift card for a bottle of Prosecco. We'd love to see you. And they can then track, if that was redeemed, what the uplift was in the till. And I know Dan spoke with the guys recently, and they could track that for one automated email that no one touched. The day it got sucked in, it got the birthday, it fired out the email, the gift card was created, it redeemed through their EPOS. They generated an extra £13,000 worth of sales in 1 year in one venue, lifting zero fingers. For one automated journey.
Lifting zero fingers.
Yeah.
I love that.
And that's the beauty
zero fingers were lifted.
So tech did not save them, and it never will, but it enabled them to create this new experience for yeah. someone's birthday. Yeah. It felt yeah. personalised, and it was a nice experience. And as you said, they brought in their family and friends. They spent a load of money.
Yeah, no, and I think when you were talking about the data before, Deliveroo are doing a similar thing, right? With like Booking.com, they own the data.
Yep.
You are at their behest. To,
yeah,
you know, you're at their service. And I remember talking to Vic Searle a while ago, and we were talking about, you know, how brands are really starting to wrestle back that control and kind of.
And so they should, honestly. Really,
yeah,
Deliveroo, Uber Eats, they should all share the data. They should give the consumer the opportunity to
surely
opt in for the brand.
Surely adds more power to
Absolutely.
The whole thing, right?
It really does.
The whole
yep.
I know. Yep. I understand where they're going. It's a data business, right? And that's where they're dining out on. Mm-hmm. See what I did? Yeah.
We need more sound effects in the second half.
I got the first one.
Absolutely.
They are literally owning all of that, they are savvy. Operators are savvy. Mm-hmm. And then, although they might be under pressure, one thing that I was speaking to an operator yesterday, that she was saying to me that actually tech is on my horizon. Like, I really need to do some stuff. I really need to fix some problems I've got. But the reality for me is at the moment is opening the doors mm-hmm. and getting people to work.
Yep.
She goes, and I think sometimes for our side of the fence or your side of the fence, I suppose, hearing that, sometimes you get that reality check. You're like, you know what? Yes, we are here to supply a fantastic product and enable them, but also they have a million other problems.
Jesus.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And
yeah.
on that, you're travelling around a lot.
Yep.
You're in London.
Yep.
They went to a show last night for everyone. Did you go to the show?
We did.
It's amazing.
What did you go and see?
We went to see
Life on the Edge. No, Life in the Sky. Life on the Edge.
Dan is checking so his phone.
It should have been called Sheffield the Musical. That's what it was.
It was. It was about Park Hill, which is where our offices are.
I know Park Hill.
And all the music was by Richard Hawley, Sheffield artist. And it was an incredible.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called. I didn't. Standing on Sky's Edge.
Few unnecessary comments about people on my side of the Pennines, though.
There was a
Lancashire
few.
Got no love.
It was a tragic love story spanning the life of the flats. So from 1960s, where they moved the slums from
you
the streets
are
and moved
rock
up.
And roll superstars.
I had a little cry at
Come
the end.
Come down to London.
It was in. Well, Sam's having a dry year. So having a dry year.
A dry year.
Yeah, and I'm helping out with that by taking in places where we can't readily get alcohol.
Do you know, if you get two bottles of alcohol free and pour them into a pint glass, it costs twice as much as a pint. I'm supporting hospitality twice as much as both of you two.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll carry on doing my thing. So on that point, I wish I'd never asked that question. Our problems in hospitality, I say this a lot on the podcast, are evergreen, right? They never really go away. They just kind of reshape and reform like a Harry Potter thing into something else, right? And what is the one thing that keeps you up at night that is that you keep smashing you in the face when you're going to meet customers? What is the one problem you keep seeing?
Just time, the time that they have to actually sit down and implement things. You know, my big angst is Airship charges a flat price per location per month, no matter the volume of data, no matter the volume of emails, whatever. It's a fixed price. And it's always been that way. We've never charged anything different because, yeah, my belief is that people shouldn't be...
penalized, discouraged,
spanked.
Yeah, spanked. Yeah.
People shouldn't be penalized for success, basically.
I missed my button then.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if there's a spank sound effect on there.
There's not, there should be.
I'll make one in a second. It's like...
So I think it's just time. You know, it's how we build. Like, Airship's an old beast, you know, and we're improving it and building on it and making it more usable all the time and coming up with ways that enable our customers to easily set things up. But I think that they've got squeezed budgets, they're smaller teams, they don't have expertise across every single subject because there's so many subjects. I mean, it's, you know, Vixel's marketing group, you know, you read the questions in there that are coming up.
It's incredible.
You know, it's gold foiling on menus, it's content creators for TikTok, it's photographers and
vegan friendly wrapping paper
Las
for
Vegas
burgers.
Trips,
yeah, you know. Honestly, Las Vegas trips.
I'd have to post in there, really.
Yeah, I'm Sam.
I lurk.
He likes to stay away from that group. Yeah. So I think it's time and budget, and that's the hardest thing. Mm. And that's what we, you know, I literally beg our customers to get those journeys set up. Yep. And yeah.
Very similar. I mean, we had a product day in Manchester last week where 20 of our customers came. And they were all comparing and almost like one-upping each other how many different tech platforms they have login details for. And they're like, how many do you log into each morning? I log into 6.
Wow.
And I have to remember 6 different passwords and I have to learn 6 different platforms and I have to have 6 different teams that I work with. And you just realize when you see that alongside everything Dan just mentioned and actually being usually one or two men or women teams trying to do amazing things and really fun things to these incredible brands, they're also learning how to use 6 different tech platforms. So the thing for me, the problem is the time, and they need tech suppliers. I'm not saying we're perfect all the time. Yep. We can be much better at it, but we're trying to enable them that they can understand the platform, set it up, and then it does 80% of the work for them. We're not going to save them. We're supposed to support them. And we should make it so that they can have these things happening that are on brand, that are with their own tone of voice, just happening in the background based on the tech decisions they've made so they can go and do the rest of their job, which is no mean feat. Time and education and just support from the experts who made these platforms and know what they're doing.
It's the reason I do the podcast, right? The reason I speak to the people who build the tech rather than, you know, and just so people can really get to the crux of why you did it. You know, what are you doing? What's your journey look like? And we're doing an event in May actually called Tech Stacked. And we're basically having a load of...
Stolen.
Yeah. Copyrighted.
It's a great name.
But we're going to have a load of tech suppliers on stage, and we're literally going to talk about tech stack in hospitality. We're going to be really obvious. That's what we're doing. No more fluff.
Yep.
No more. We're literally going to say, this is what you require from the start of your journey to the end.
Yep.
All these guys work together. So as you said, a lot of you guys all API into each other, all work together.
Yep.
And it's really about getting everyone in a room and really doing a big education piece. Good. Because you're right. I mean, I am really shit at keeping passwords, right? I am embarrassingly bad. Like, I just changed phones, and I'm not joking, to re-log into 20 apps. And my normal password, which is my son's name... All you fraudsters out there.
Yeah. And my sort code is...
I've got 3, so yeah. Get me now. But like, literally, it's horrific. And I know a friend of mine who runs a fairly large casual dining brand is as bad with passwords. Mm-hmm. This sounds ridiculous, yeah, but that's the level you're at.
There are... password.
Yeah, I know.
We'll send you a link. It'd be great. Gonna change your day.
Maybe I should go and take a tech stack and just, maybe I'm the lowest level of education there is.
I think, yeah.
That's me. That's what you use me for. If Sam can figure his way around it, it's ready for market.
That's it. Yeah. That is the litmus test.
You're the test.
Yeah.
Right, good. And I wanted to get on some marketing emails because I spoke about them in a previous podcast. And I always think of 2 things when I receive one. One, how the hell did I get this? Why did I get this? And 2, why am I bothered? You know, I'm bothered. Why would I bother responding or doing something? And I think I probably got to Nike, Apple, and there's a jeans company in West Wales called Hewitt Denim.
Okay.
And they have an amazing leadership. They do leadership workshops, podcasts, and all this kind of stuff, which I follow intensely, which John Mason introduced me to, and they are brilliant. But they are the three things I will click through. I don't get any Airship. Oh, I do actually. I just started getting them actually last week. That must be Holly. But I get Airship emails.
Join his kitchen, shout out. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, what is the real benefit, and what do you see coming out of businesses that are doing it really well? What's the big value to it?
So, but I think firstly, if you're getting emails that you're thinking, why did I get this? Then that's spam.
Yeah.
And that's very different to signing up for something.
Yeah.
And receiving emails and engaging with a brand.
Yeah,
okay.
Very true.
So, obviously, spam still exists, more to more in the B2B world than the B2C world.
Yes.
And GDPR, mm-hmm. you know, it had a part to play, but actually it's been a bit of a slippery slope since then.
Do you know what? Sorry to interrupt, by the way.
That's all right.
I haven't got an interrupt button.
GDPR? Well, no, you're going to punch me.
No, you're completely right. It is spam 80% of the time. But what it could also be is... There's so many people in this sector, through no fault of their own, where Chris might have signed up 18 months ago, and he just gets his first email now because they don't have an automated welcome journey. Like,
yeah,
they don't have an automated birthday journey. They don't have an anniversary birthday journey.
That's why Sam's here.
They don't have these things where Chris went to this wonder. You know, I went to a Federal Cafe in Manchester yesterday in Deansgate. I had my first email from them today from Airship because I logged onto the Wi-Fi. And that's it now. It's part of my experience in my inbox. I'll get another email in a few days' time with an invite to go back in. I'll get a birthday journey. I'll get an anniversary journey. And I won't be surprised when I see them coming in 18 months' time. But Chris might, if the cafe he went to doesn't email him for a year and a half.
Very good. Yeah, very good. And I think that there's about 130 email messages to an inbox a day. A lot of brands are worried about sending too many and then don't send any. A lot of people are worried that their unsubscribe rate will go up when actually it won't. It will always be under 1%. I think, you know, we did a campaign with Ego. And I say we did a campaign. Ego did a campaign. Yeah, no, we didn't do anything.
You enabled them.
We enabled them, yeah. And they use Toggle tactically as a business, which, you know, more people are doing. They've got a good engaged database, slightly older. Their value exchange, what they present to their customer when they sign up, is crystal clear. They get to collect the anniversary date from the customer or a special day so they can remind them of that special day and give them something to entice them in. It's a really good customer experience. And, you know, this value exchange, the VX, as we call it, is like absolutely critical. It brings all of that data together in a lovely framework, allows the marketing teams very simply to then follow it through. So that could be the delivery of automation, or it could be the Christmas showcase, or it could be Pancake Day, or whatever it might be. It's all a family, a friends, a club, a rewards, something that gives it purpose.
So I was going to ask, Dan, when you mentioned before, how often is there a should you, how many times you should email? Because I hear a lot of people say to me, as I've worked, you know, around marketing, people are, you only should, it's like posting on social media, you only should do it two times a month or three times. Is there a rule, or does it just depend on what you do?
There isn't a rule. But if you sign up for lots and lots of things,
yes,
sign up for Coat, sign up for Patisserie Valerie, sign up for Adidas, sign up for Nike, Levi's, lots of different brands. I sign up to loads and loads of stuff because I want to see frequency. And I want to see what their journeys look like. I believe that it should be at least one or two emails a week. They should be context-based, they should be personalised, and they should be targeted. Yeah. It shouldn't be everybody, because you'll fall foul of IP problems.
Yeah, so segmented down to whatever group you're
engaged customers. Yeah. And then, I've not got this yet, I've not done it yet, but I think there should be two automations a week based on recency of visit, rewards, loyalty, feedback, welcome, birthday, anniversary, all of those different triggers, segmentation triggers, whatever it might be.
It's really interesting.
Because all you're doing is you're up against every other inbox, every other email in that inbox. Yeah. And people aren't unsubscribing. All they're doing is scanning.
Yeah, just
you know, because they scan their message.
It's very rare
inboxes.
That I actually will go and click the new Apple unsubscribe thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you're up against Amazon, and you're up against Now TV and Netflix and every other brand that you've, you know, The Guardian, everything you've engaged with.
You'll give me more credit than it's worth.
The Daily Star. But you're up against everybody else, and customers don't mind. They don't mind. Okay. Yeah.
Tell us about the results.
Yeah, so Ego sent out an email to an engaged list. Not all of their database, a decent proportion of their database. They got a 55% open rate, which is a good open rate. Open rates are less important nowadays because of the Apple privacy update. So obviously everybody's seen their open rates go up. So that was 55%. Generally, it's between about 38 and that sort of 48 sort of percent on a straight broadcast, a campaign broadcast. They only had a 2% click through. But this was very specific, this email. It was doing a flash sale on a gift card. The gift card value was £60, but it was costing the customer £50. It was only live for 3 days. They generated £72,000 worth of revenue from that one email. So it was worth about £17 per click, that email. And, you know, there's one good example of email marketing to drive revenue. Wow. I mean,
that's insane.
It's mad.
We send 49 million emails a month. I mean, you ask me what my job is. My job is to get people out into hospitality. That's my job.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. I'm still getting over there. Well, just because, you know, if you're an operator listening, that it's gold dust, right? A new revenue. Finding a new, you know, losing a customer is really easy, actually. Yep. Finding a new one is bloody hard, and most operators will tell you that it's just, it's gold dust, right? That is the golden goose of running a restaurant or a bar.
And that 72K of revenue, those aren't people buying for somebody else. No, those are people making decisions that they're going to go and eat at Ego.
That they weren't going to before.
They weren't going to do before.
Well, that frequency wasn't going to happen.
Absolutely.
So that's insane.
I don't know if you saw the stat the other week that our team shared. We've got 45 million individual records now on Airship, so 45
like
million.
My dad's got 45 million.
The button, come on. So there's data on Airship now for 45 million individuals.
Wow.
And they're being marketed to by our customers, they should be. And someone said something recently that really stuck with me out of our team, which is if you're not marketing to your customers on their birthday, then your competitors are. You know, they're getting an email, they're getting a text message, they're seeing a social advert saying, hey, Chris, your birthday's coming up.
Yeah.
You know, you're like us. We eat out a lot. We go, we socialise a lot. You know, we have a lot of places that we would happily go to on our birthday or a special day or an occasion. And it only takes a little nudge from someone
Hickory's,
to get... Hickory's, I love Hickory's. Hickory's open in my village and it is never not full.
In my village.
In the village, in the sticks of Walmer Bridge. They opened in Hutton just down the road and it is rammed and it is great.
I think the word nudge is really important in this, actually, because that's what I now understand after a very long chat with Vic. We were talking about... it was weird. We were emailing each other to book the podcast. And she said, if I hadn't sent you that little nudge the week before, we wouldn't be doing this now. We'd be another 4 weeks, 6 weeks down the line. She goes, and that is a restaurant. She goes, that's the same thing. Unless I nudge you, you're not coming.
Yeah.
Because you've got other, you know, you've got other people to go and see, other friends to go and visit.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's a really interesting way of looking at it.
And just photography, you know, I think a lot of people, again, a lot of brands, they think that it needs to be like a professional food photographer for that email content. And it doesn't really, you know, you just need, you know,
those phones. Photographers are making bank. I mean, literally, if you guys stop doing Airship and Toggle, go and become photographers, because I look at that bloody WhatsApp group every day. Anyone got a photographer? Yeah, I'll do it for £9,000 for a shot. Wow. And they're booked, they're in.
Yeah.
Although Dan Burns, the good looking scouser from Natural Desert Selection, he deserves it. Oh, he's a very good looking scouser.
He's got long hair.
Proper northerner.
Short. Okay, we'll move it quickly on. Sorry. Right, so one of the things that I have loved watching is your unique marketing approach. Now, whether it was an approach or whether it's just you two doing what you do, but particularly Toggle, it was just great fun, right, watching you do what you do and some of the insane things you've been dressing up as. What's his name? I can't remember.
Chico.
Time. I haven't got a Chico button. I should have got a Chico button.
We could have got him in.
Now I feel shortchanged.
He's our third wheels most days.
To be fair, we've only got three seats, so we can do that. But how deliberate was it? Was it a plan? Because again, I think for learning, for people listening in and learning, because that's what it's all about, understanding that sometimes those things feel accidental, or, you know, but it might be a deliberate approach, or it might have been accidental. What was it, Sam?
Happy for me to
go. You go for it.
Go for it. It was new for me as well. So I joined in, 2020? And I talk a lot of shit and I say a lot of ideas, and 8 out of 10 are rubbish, 2 out of 10 are quite good, I'd say. And so I arrived at Airship and Toggle, and Dan, I remember saying something outlandish on one of the first days, saying, "We're going to do this." And I was like, "This guy's crazy." I was like, "This is exciting." We did it and it got received well because it was different. And then I think I, you know, something along the lines of, let's pay Chico to do a cameo video about Toggle Time because it sounds a bit like Chico Time. And in previous roles, that sort of thing would be, no, right, next, what we're going to do
don't
is...
even bring that up. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, but within Airship and Toggle, the whole kind of ethos, and it's part just natural, and it's our personalities just coming out in the sector. And we're all very emotionally invested in the company and the sector, and it bleeds through our team, and it trickles down from Dan 100%. But if there were any guidelines, it would be have fun. Like, is the most important thing. You know, marketing is someone's opportunity to get an insight into your business and what you do and the personality of you and your team. And people aren't interested in sterile, transactional, factual stuff. People want a little bit of brightness in the day, and they want a little bit of fun and a little bit of excitement, a little bit of stupidity, because we all have the same routines. We all have our lives to get on with. And you see something a little bit silly and a little bit fun, and if it's also paired with a really important, serious message about improving your day and making your life easier, that's a really nice sandwich.
Yep.
And so...
By the way, it goes back to food.
I love that. I'm not eating yet. Oh, I had sausage and a pear. That was nice.
He did have a sausage and a pear.
So a big thing for us is there's no stupid ideas. We're quite open about that internally. We have to involve the whole company at every opportunity. Everyone has to feel like they can just say stupid things. Our finance director, Alex, the other day said, snoggle by mistake before Valentine's Day, and that's it. We decided to rebrand the site and make new designs. And
Alex, that's really good.
Oh yeah, she's great.
Snoggle.
And in a really thick Hull accent as well. Snoggle sounds funny.
And Kirk. A little bit dirty.
You have to build a team who love what they do and get excited by it, and that's key. It's easy to say it in our position. We're blessed to have Dom and Dominica, who's our graphic designer, and Ben, who's our marketing manager. They joined us during the pandemic as Kickstarters, part of the government scheme on limited hours per week. And they've just grabbed the bat on and sprinted with it. They're both exceptional talents. I mean, some of the things that we throw Dominica and say, can we design this? And it's a scrap of paper with something stupid drawn on it. And she makes these beautiful things.
I think I saw
things.
That because you share that. And the other thing is you share a lot, right?
We share a lot.
Sam, I now know from the first 7 minutes of sitting in this room, Sam is obviously the photo, social media, but like you share everything, don't you? Which I really like. I just think that integrity piece is really cool.
Yeah, I think it's really important.
Yeah.
You know, we share, we've got a product day today. So we've got about 25 customers coming. And the first thing we'll say is, you know, hands up who's got a, you know, problem with any part of the platform.
I wonder where you were going.
You know, we like to get things out in the open, whether it's good or bad. Yeah. But positivity, I think, and as Sam said, the fun. You know, I don't know. This is my 14th company. You know, so I've done lots of businesses since I was 20 years old. And
kissed a lot of frogs.
A lot of frogs. It's always been about fun. You know, when I ran the businesses, when I ran my pubs, you know, we did stage show quiz nights, you know, we did tea dances, we did, you know, it's a bit of a marketing dream, truthfully, as far as content was concerned. We had a website before websites. You know, we were very marketing driven as a business.
You do wonder, though, if more people kind of just let go a little bit. And I know you have to have brand standards, I get it, right? You have to have metrics and measures. But sometimes I wonder, just... maybe show your personality a little bit more, because that's what, I mean, look at what happened with social media, right? That is all it is, people buying into other people, having a good time or you know, out having dinner, whatever they might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we train it into even our sales team right from the start. You know, you'd be amazed how much people are attracted to you when you're just yourself. You know, there's no better version of you than just being warts and all, vulnerable you, you know, for the world to see.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's so much more freeing as an individual to be able to live that way and go... Yeah. We fuck up. You know, we've got things that we don't do well. We've got some things we do great. And we just, you know, this is our personalities that we try and get across. And one thing we do, again, you know, on the work side of it, and this is quite serious, is that we make sure that we are in the places where our potential customers' eyeballs and feet are. It's really important. There's no point advertising on a channel that nobody watches. So we work really hard to get our social channels to have a lot of eyeballs on them. We make sure that we're all the events we can get to. We make sure that we do wonderful things like this with people that have great networks like yourself, Chris.
Thanks.
I was going to give myself a round of applause.
Do it. Any, just press any button for me. I get a dopamine hit every time.
Before we do our end bit, I'm going to test the button.
Okay.
I'm scared of pressing the wrong one.
But to translate, I mean, even team marketing, which started off as this little kernel of a support group from Vic Searle, who's an amazing individual, and grew into this massive powerhouse of a platform. So for hospitality operators, I know they don't need me to tell them this, but you know, where are your customers' eyeballs when they're not in your venue? It's on their social media, it's in their text messaging box, it's in their email inbox, it's in their Apple wallet. Do you have a gift card saved in their Apple wallet? So when they go to their card to pay for 4 alcohol-free beers at Spa, if it's me, I see my Honestburg gift card in there with 18 quid in, it's nudging me to drive a visit. You need to work really hard to make sure you're there. And if you don't have an automated journey set up, you've missed a chance. If you're not saved to the wallet, you've missed a chance. So that's really important on the non-fun side of it. You know, every day, make sure you're in front of their eyeballs. But then back to how deliberate it is. It is just a lot about having some really rough guidelines around. We love hospitality. We're passionate about enabling operators to do more with the data and make their lives easier. Yeah. We are positive and optimistic, but without being unrealistic.
Yeah.
And we give our team this kind of freedom to say, be yourself. If something goes wrong, we've got your back. You know, ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Yeah.
And if you do something terrible, we'll protect you and we'll fix it and we just won't do it again. The culture at Airship is unlike anything I've had before, which is team first. There's no blame culture. If you get something wrong, we know you didn't intend to do it. Let's make sure we fix it and do it better as a team. And we all learn. And if you do that way, you get to push all your boundaries and you grow so much faster. And without being too sycophantic, I only learned what that word means recently, so I'm trying to use it.
I'll Google that later.
It's a great word. It also helps that we have Dan as our CEO. And I, you know, it's no secret that I love this guy. But he is, if I was to give him one part of his personality that was world-class, he's a world-class marketeer. He's phenomenal at what he does, and it trickles down to the company. It enables us all to do our jobs better. So, having world-class marketeers helps, but thankfully there's a lot of those in our sector.
It was on for too long. Thank you. I mean, literally feel like you've just delivered your speech for the end of the year conference. We could probably do 2 hours here, actually, but we've got to move on. And gifting, actually, and you went, what's the conference you go to every year, Dan?
Gift Card and Voucher Association.
So I remember, GCVA. I don't know why, but I remember commenting on a post of yours, maybe after the pandemic when you'd gone to that event. It was really, you'd shared a couple of slides from the day and it was mind-blowing, like when you were talking before, actually, about what Toggle's numbers. How has it changed over the last 5 years? Like, we likened the delivery before to the data that they're collecting. What has that sector been doing and what is it going to do?
I think the moment actually was during the pandemic when the school vouchers were served up as gift cards. And that it almost just could turn the sector on its head because all of those existing integrations with Tesco's and Sainsbury's and the supermarkets and Co-op were suddenly leveraged by the government to serve up vouchers to help families.
Yeah.
And that sector worked really quickly to make that happen. And they did it in a matter of days in some cases.
Wow.
And it was quite an amazing thing to see and to be on the periphery of, really. I think the point is it's not just a gift card anymore. You know, it's this, you know, it's a stored value. It's a number associated with a customer and it can be used for, you know, we integrate with HGEM and feed it back to win back customers who have had a bad experience or to reward customers who have fed back that they've had a great experience because you know that by actually sending them a £10 gift card and driving a more frequent visit is going to make them a promoter, even more of a promoter. So we use a gift card in that scenario. We use a gift card in the B2B scenario. We've got Coat in Tesco. So Coat have their own gift card on the mall in Tesco. We integrate with Shopify and WooCommerce, so you can use a gift card from a hospitality brand to use in their e-commerce shop. It's just a very durable product, a very durable mechanic for marketing and for driving customer engagement. And I think that's the change. That sector in the UK is worth £7 billion. £7 billion. Hospitality don't even get a look in really on that.
And the opportunities, I suppose, what you explained there is endless. Right,
endless.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. And we're just scratching the surface. We've got 500 operators now using Toggle. Like 500 brands use Toggle to sell gift cards. Physical and digital and everything. We've just done tickets. We're launching a product called Champions about 2 weeks' time, which is just insane. It's insanely good.
Go on,
good.
Man. What does Champions do?
So Toggle Champions is just a referral mechanic. So it's a data accelerator,
right,
where you can go out to your best customers, give them the opportunity to sign up as a referrer, and the friends, followers, and fans of your best customers should be your customers. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple.
Wow.
So as soon as a referrer signs up with a brand, they get a £2, £3, £5, £10 gift card. As soon as they've used that gift card, the champion is rewarded. And it's, you know, it's SaaSified.
Is anybody else doing that?
Not as well as us. I don't know, but it is, it's amazing. If I can go to, I mean, I love Honest Burgers, and if I can get a code off Gemma, who sends an email and says, "Hey Sam, you know, don't be a champion," I stick it on my LinkedIn or my Instagram, and every time someone comes in, I get rewarded. You know, that should drive so many more visitors from two posts.
Yeah.
Love it.
I can't see a downside to it.
Yeah.
And it's so, got a cool name.
I'm literally thinking I'm a champion of, I've got four or five brands up my sleeve.
So the gift card in the wallet on the phone gives the brand a really nice single mechanic for redemption in store,
yeah,
that the customer understands, and importantly the operations team understand, because there's nothing worse than an engaged customer turning up to show a voucher and then somebody just looking at him going, "I don't know what that is. I don't know what to do with that."
That was the world back in our day when people used to rock and go, "Oh, he's got one of them too." Literally in front of them, he's got one of them. You know, the cheap ones from January? Do you still do that? I'll tell you where it was. It was Carluccio's, right? In January, we had the 2-for-1 offer, which was hugely successful. So yep, we could never get rid of it, because it was actually, because you know, you build it into prior year each year. Absolutely. So it's becoming a budget. So, and it literally used to walk and go, "Oh, yeah, I'm a 2-for-1. I'd be like, "Oh, for God."
That's true.
It's terrific. Right, okay, moving on. So right, I want to ask you both, if I made you, because I have this power, the Prime Minister of Hospitality, what would be your manifesto for 23-24? Should we go to you, Sam, first?
No.
Okay, good. Dan.
As Boris Johnson said,
wow, he's the first time he's been mentioned on the podcast.
Automate, automate, automate.
I remember that.
Yeah, do you remember?
Sam's just walked off in a fridge as Dan's talking. For those not averse with British politics, it's Boris Johnson.
I think people just got to get their journeys set up, honestly. I don't care which platform you're using. You know, I don't care which platform you're using. Just set up automated nudges, as Vic Sir would say,
and get
those customers visiting more frequently, and don't miss those opportunities, because every day that passes by that you don't have a birthday email set up, you're just giving business away.
Yep.
Giving it away.
I think she says leaving money on the table, right?
Leaving money on the table.
And she's damn right.
I'll be keep referring to Vic. She'll be sitting there going, "Yes, I've integrated this whole podcast."
But she's right. That's why people quote her, because she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
Don't leave money on the table.
Yeah, I think, automation and just operational excellence, nothing to do with us. But just operation, and it's so hard you know, with all of the pressures on recruitment and everything else. But just those little, having those teams that just, those little things that make a visit more special, a little acknowledgement, you know, looking up, eye contact,
dust, right?
All of that magic dust. I mean, it's so.
That's what we do best, right? That's what the industry's always done better than everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
That magic, the moment you have there that you remember and you talk to your friends about in the pub the day after, or you're in again, right? Yeah. But, you know, those magic moments. Go on, Sam.
I ate in Dishoom yesterday in Manchester, and you know, there's a reason they are where they are. The team could not, I left thinking, "Shit, I wish I was mates with that guy." He was so cool. Like, we shook hands, we hugged.
Do you think he left
end.
Thinking the same thing?
I doubt it. I bet he thought, "Thank God that guy's left." But he was part of our meal.
Yep.
You know, he was there all the time, wasn't too much, wasn't too little. There's a reason they're so popular. And he was great. The girl that met us at the door was great. You know, that's operational excellence. It's so tough to do, but those little things, it makes a massive difference.
Love it. Look, you two are brilliant, and we could do a long time. But one of the things I did want to do was test your Mr. and Mrs. relationship. As a quick fire round, and we're going to ask each of you five questions, okay, and we're going to be as quick as we can. I'm just going to test my buttons for a second.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's like that can set the tone. Okay. Okay, so here we go. This is the quick fire round. So, Sam, we're going to start with you.
Okay.
If the other one could turn into any animal, which would it be?
Oh, shit. We should have prepped for that. Dolphin. And you'd like to be hairless all over.
I was going to say bear.
You want to be a bear?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's wrong.
So you're wrong.
Yeah, okay.
That sounds like a right answer. I need to learn my buttons better. Right, here we go. Question. Oh, no, we need to ask the other way around.
Okay.
Dan, what about Sam?
A squirrel, I think. No.
A diseased
red
rat.
Red or grey?
Grey.
The submissive one.
Yeah.
Grey.
Yeah.
I'm the squirrel that gets murdered by the red ones.
Yeah, just like wandering around parks in London picking up little wrappers and nibbling on.
Great. That's literally what I do for a job.
Right, okay. Dan, where is Sam's favourite... What? Where is the other person's favourite food?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a Greggs.
Greggs. That's my favourite food. Yes. One.
Okay, Greggs is good. And what about Dan?
Chicken wings. This man,
I love a chicken wing. I love it.
His technique to clean a chicken wing, it's just bone. One go, just bone. I've never seen anyone do it.
Sam, in which city did you first meet?
I actually know this. Do you know it?
I'm going to say London.
Fuck off.
No?
You help me.
It's a fair bit rude.
I'm not even special to you, am I? We met in Cambridge.
Oh, my God.
At a conference.
I think we must have met before.
No, we didn't. I couldn't put up a stand. I was working for a competitor, technically, okay, and you helped me put the stand up.
Oh, there we go.
You were very nice.
Yeah. 5 years ago.
Yeah, a long time
ago. That actually negates the next question, doesn't it? Because you now know where you met.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's 1 point to me. Am I winning here, I assume?
Cambridge. I'm not even sure what the point is.
I'm 1-0 up.
Dan, when is Sam's birthday?
25th of January.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
Very good. And Sam...
I only know this because we went to Dan's 50th last weekend.
Oh, that's just cheating.
And it was a hell of a day. 11th of Feb?
Yep.
Great day.
Very good. Right. Don't worry, there's only two more to go. Which was the other person's favourite marketing campaign you've done at Airship and Toggle? Dan.
Best one was, it's got to be Jetpack Santa.
I actually agree on that.
It must have cost us 50 quid. And it was a bit insane. It was a bit insane.
Well, I mean, Toggle Time 2 was a hell of a day.
There's a Toggle Time 2.
It was a Chico for a whole day. It was ridiculous. It was a film shoot, a crew, act, line, script. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, good. This is the final question, and then we can let them leave. Who writes the best LinkedIn post, Sam?
We can let the numbers tell us. We posted at the same time this morning, didn't we?
Did you?
That's so unfair. Who's got the highest SSI score? No. I think Sam does. I think Sam writes the better LinkedIn.
What's happening?
I know. I don't know.
I'm going to take it. He gets a point for that. He's right.
Yeah, we'll go.
He's got the most unengaged audience.
Lots of followers, but a dead database. Right, good. Look, before I let you go, where do we find you? I mean, everyone knows where you are, but because you're on social media daily. But Sam, what's the best way to find Toggle?
If you go to usetoggle.com, there's loads of great information on there. Or you can just drop us guys an email, sam@usetoggle.com will come through to me. And then for Airship, it's just airship.co.uk. Or again, dan@airship.co.uk.
Yeah, and Dan, if people want to contact you directly, are they allowed to?
Oh, yeah, of course, absolutely. Yeah.
You're
going
to give out your email?
Yep, just dan@airship.co.uk. I'll give you my mobile number if you like.
Oh, do it. No, don't do it.
Do Sam's mobile number.
Yeah, here it is.
I didn't know his mobile number.
Sam's number. Oh,
this has been so much fun. Can I get one of these? My voice sounds quite Lancashire caramel being poured into my ears.
Come and do Tech Stacked and I'll give you a proper
deal.
We're going to do a live podcast on the day, so we'll give you one of them.
We'll get you a van with one of these in the back and just drive you around everywhere.
Saves you sleeping in the park.
What fun.
Yeah. Right, good. Right, look, guys.
Hero.
Thank you very much. It's been lovely to see you. And we'll see you soon. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks.
Wherever the cheers are.
Wave to that camera.
Cheers, Chris.
Very good.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you tune in next week to find out who we've got coming up, or you can go and check out techontoast.community to find out more about what we're up to. Have a great week.